Welcome everybody to our half year results. I think last year we had it in London, so it's good to also have it in South Africa every second year. Before I start on going into the results, I think there are a number of things I'd just like to say. I think we as an organization obviously have to listen to shareholders at points in time. I think we've been through a fairly tough period, and we know that our returns aren't where they should be. However, sometimes in life you've also got to look back to see where you've come from. And when we take a step back and look where we've come from to where we are today, I think we've come a significantly long way. That certainly doesn't excuse us from delivering the right returns, and we will continue to make every effort as an organization to deliver the right returns. Hopefully in the presentation today we'll give you some articulation of where the drags are and where we're doing particularly well. But I think if you look at the overall organization, as I said in that half-year trading update, about 2.5 out of our 3 businesses are performing particularly well, and there are half a business is causing a drag. That we are dealing with. And in time, you'll actually start to see that coming through. So on that note, I'm going to move straight on to the presentation so I can articulate the story I try to open up with. This button you've got to press very hard. So I think for the first time in a while one would regard the operating environment as improving. I think the last few months we've seen the UK economy in particular start showing some light. The US for some while has been showing some light. The South African economy is obviously not in great shape, but certainly for our type of activity, we are comfortable with the environment as it is. It gives us a lot of opportunity, and we think we're quite well placed. I think we have seen a pretty stable interest rate environment. In this particular period, the rand, the South African interest rates were lower than the equivalent period last year, as we had a rate cut during the period. But as for the rest of the world, they were pretty stable. So for us, we would have seen this as a slightly improving operating environment. Clearly, the rand has had a significant impact on our results. The rand depreciated since March by 17%. I mean, the rand is not on its own. You can see the Aussie dollar went in a similar direction as did any other commodity economy or emerging market economy. But even the dollar was weaker against sterling. So that would have had a big impact on these results. And I think that needs to be factored. Certainly, I'm talking in South Africa. From a South Africa investor point of view, you should place a lot more emphasis on that than you actually do. So overall, we believe that our diversified business model has supported performance. In sterling, our asset management business grew by 6.8%. You've got to remember that it is a rand and a dollar-based business, so it would have also been affected by currencies. And our wealth and investment business did very well, up 35%. And that, you know, is as a consequence, and I'll talk about it later, of some of the issues, things that we've been dealing with there in the prior years. And then our specialist bank was down 12.9%. Now, that's again a tale of two cities. The South African specialist bank had a phenomenal half year and was up 45%, which obviously is a very strong performance. And however, we had to do the restructure in Australia, would have affected this half year's results. And the UK results were also behind last year. And I'll explain some of that in a moment. So overall, if we look at the group by geography, UK was marginally behind last year. South Africa up 35% in rands. Again, a very strong performance. And Australia, as I said, we went through that process of trying to simplify it and restructure it and deal with the relationship between cost and revenue in that business. So our key earnings drivers were up on a currency neutral basis. They're down in sterling. But in each home market, we have been able to both grow our third-party assets under management. We've grown our customer accounts, and we've grown our loans and advances. So, again, the currency masks what is happening on the ground. Impairments used to be a story. I guess that it's now a story of the past because they were down another 28%, coming down quite a lot last year. you know, there will still be some impairment levels going forward, but you know, we've seen it normalize in South Africa. You know, our ratio was 0.4. It's come down quite a lot, the impairment charge. In the UK and Australia, we just had some bits and pieces that I said last time to write off, but the defaults are now negligible, which I'll cover in a moment. So overall, you know, we're on a positive trend on impairments. I think the other challenge for us has been our jaws ratio. We've seen it narrow the last few years. I think we have to deal with costs. We've seen costs in some of the areas flattish in the specialist bank, overall down in some geographies, still up in rand. The rand business is growing, so we have seen some growth in cost, inflationary type costs. You can see that asset management costs are up by 10%. There is some noise in that because there was about a £4 million cost that, as a consequence of acceleration of LTIPS to implement the Marathon deal, or the buyout by management, and you can see income up 9%. If we look at the wealth business, costs were up 12%, income up 16%. A lot of that would have been from an uptick in variable remuneration, but also costs of IT and other infrastructural costs as we strengthen our platforms. And then the specialist bank costs were down in sterling, flat in rand, but the challenge has really been income. And as I said to you earlier, there are areas where we were just not generating the income. Although it was an improved operating environment, there was a period where nothing happened. When they started talking the tapering story, all sorts of things froze. That started changing towards the back end of the period, in particular the last month. And we've seen improved activity since then. So if we look at our RAND numbers, and I'm talking from South Africa, so I think it is important to look at our RAND numbers, because sometimes we get shouted at by South African shareholders because we've underperformed in sterling, but they get their dividends in rand. So you can see operating profit up 14%, adjusted earnings up 13%, neutral currency is very similar to this, EPS up 13%, dividends per share up 17%, that's the cash that you as shareholders are going to receive. So the South African shareholders should be comfortable with that. You can see NAV up 20, tangible up 21, funds under management against September last year up 30. If I take it against March, I think it's up like 10 or 11 in rand. And then loans and advances up 20 against September, again about, I can't remember the number in sterling from March. So if we were just presenting rands, most of you would be happy with us. So I think it's important for you to actually get a perspective of that. If we look at sterling, you can see very impacted by the currency if you compare the one to the other. And operating profit down 2.3, attributable earnings down 1.7, adjusted EPS down 2%. And, you know, others down marginally. So basically a static sort of balance sheet in sterling. All the growth that came from the underlying businesses was taken away by the currency. On our financial targets, this is an area where obviously we have been struggling the last while. Our ROE is still below our required minimum of 12%. You know, we're working quite hard to actually try and to get it back up there. And you already saw very strong progress in the South African business. ROE went from 15% to 18%. The areas that we are still dealing with and trying to fix are obviously what have been dragging ROE from a broader group perspective. Growth I've covered, cost to income I've covered, and on capital adequacy I'll spend a bit more time on capital at the back end of my presentation, because I think it's important that people understand the impact of all the regulations that have been coming our way and how we are dealing with that impact. But in the moment we're within our targets on capital. And so if we look at our divisions, I think asset management, as I said, grew 6.8% in sterling, about 15% in rand, 15.9% in rand. Operating margin slightly weaker than the previous period. As I said, there was some noise in the expenditures of about £4 million that would have had an effect on that. The ROE obviously is very, very high. I suppose it's not such a relevant number in this kind of business because it doesn't use any capital. And you can see that there was some decline in UK funds under management, notwithstanding the fact that we had £1.4 billion of net inflows. Some of that is exchange rate, some of that is because we manage emerging market type funds, and as soon as tapering came, money stopped flowing into some of those funds, but have fortunately been flowing into other funds. And then you can see the South African numbers since up 7%. So the business benefited from higher average funds under management, although in pounds, total funds under management came down a little bit. We have a very strong long-term investment track record, where 88% of our portfolios are outperforming their benchmarks on a 10-year basis. Clearly, we implemented the sale of 15% of that business to management in July, and I think both management and the group are comfortable with where we are there. I think it's ensures that we've had a long-standing team, that the team is stable, and that we can concentrate on growing and developing that business. So we believe that that business has performed phenomenally well over the past 6 years. Its funds under management have more than doubled. Its profitability has more than doubled, and it still has very strong prospects in our broader group. I think the wealth business has been clearly that, and the South African Bank would have been the star performers in this particular period. Again, you can see the impact of the rationalization of Williams de Broe and the integration of Williams de Broe coming through. The operating profit is up 35% in sterling, 41% on a currency neutral basis. You can see the operating margin has improved from 19.3 to 22.4. That, you know, we still need more improvement there, but you can start seeing it coming into line. The ROE, and these are businesses we paid goodwill for, is already up at 21% pre-tax. So, again, you're starting to see the benefit of those acquisitions come through in a zero interest rate environment. And ROE on tangible, we didn't need all the capital we had in those businesses, so we took some out. That's why the ROE on tangible has gone up quite strongly. So if you look at funds under management since March, UK funds grew by 2.4% and South African funds under management by 10%. And that meant that total funds under management remained flattish in the period because of the impact of the rand. So in the UK, we have a very successful footprint right throughout the UK, which came as a consequence of the Williams de Broe acquisition. I think that in South Africa, there's been a lot of collaboration between the private bank and the wealth management business, and we're starting to see a lot of clients brought across from the private bank who no longer have a wealth offering. It's all done through the wealth management business. So those actions we took 4 years ago of integrating the two businesses are really starting to pay off now. And I think, you know, the success is all for all to see. So for us on the outlook here, I think, you know, we're still building these businesses. It's assisted by increased presence in new locations. We're seeing a lot of people in the UK joining us from whatever's going on in the UK in terms of rationalisation by other players, and we're quite positive about how life is going there. There are also a number of initiatives that we are building out that help us for the future, and you know, those are around digitization and internationalization, but it's too early days to talk about progress on that front. So again, a very good performance from that business. So on the specialist bank, and I think, as I said to you, in South Africa we've had a very good performance across the board. We're really seeing the actions that we took on the one bank scenario some years ago starting to bear fruit. There's a lot of integration. There's still noise in those numbers, but still a very, very strong performance overall across the board. If you remember last year, we also had to integrate the securities business with the corporate business. That has worked out very, very well, and we've turned a loss-making business into a profit-making business from that story. Really, a very positive story on the South African Specialist Bank. In the UK, I'll go into quite a lot of detail on splitting out what's happening on the legacy side to the ongoing business, because the legacy side is masking the performance of the ongoing business. I think that we had a good performance from our investment portfolios. We also seen good growth in our professional and specialized lending and asset finance businesses. And I think that although the overall results were negative on the previous period, one has to look at what is taking place on the ground. And we have to look forward as opposed to backwards. If we get to Australia, we spoke about that at the trading update, the ongoing business made $12 million, but the overall business actually made a loss during the period as a consequence of the actions that we took, and that's why we took them. So overall, we've made very good progress on the single bank process, and I think we'll probably stop talking about that now from here on out. If you look at the overall numbers, I mean, the challenge there is still ROE at 8.1%. I think what's important to note here is all residual costs we've loaded on the specialist bank, which is not right, and we will do an exercise over the next 6 months to bring back some kind of group cost which is strategic, that is not allocatable to divisions, so that you see the specialist bank in proper perspective. But we were unable to get there for these results. So in stable currency, the business was up 1%, but obviously down 12.9% overall. So again, from an outlook perspective, a substantial amount of work has been done on dealing with legacy issues. As I said to you, the ongoing business is performing well, and I've got a lot of detail in these slides about the strides that we've made, and that we believe that we are penetrating our client base, we've got a good brand with our clients, and we find that people want to deal with us. So we are making good progress in the specialist bank. If we look at income generation, this has been the area where it's been tough to grow income. It's down in sterling, up in local currency across the board, I'm not going to go into detail on each. Net interest income was down moderately in local currency, and that sometimes because of the mix of portfolios and sometimes because of the level of interest rates. But we are driving our core interest growth drivers, and we should start seeing that open up again as we also start getting our cost of funds down in some key geographies. So overall, a difficult period for some of our geographies, but we know where we're going. If we look at costs, I know some of you shouted about costs. They were flat, there's probably a little bit still to take out, but we don't think this is a cost issue. We think it's more a revenue issue, and we have to start looking to generate revenue more than cutting costs. There will be 100% cost income ratio of businesses that we've been taking out. We managed to sell our trust business that was post. That at 100% cost income ratio, we sold it the other day, so that would come out, and the other actions of that nature that help us align cost and revenue. But we certainly need to start growing revenue again, and that's what we have started to see on the South African business, and hopefully we'll start seeing it in the other businesses in the not-too-distant future. Certainly activity levels start indicating that. So if we look at our areas of focus to drive future performance, I think from our point of view, I think the asset management business has built a very strong franchise. We know they remain focused on broadening their client base and generating net inflows. And I think for us, it's just, maintaining that momentum is what's important to the broader group. And, we have seen a continuation of net inflows into that business in the past 6 months. I think on the wealth business, we built a very strong foundation. We're trying to build critical mass in all the locations where we operate from. We are building our offshore offering or our international offering, and we continue to develop that. As I said, there's a lot of collaboration in South Africa between the private bank and the wealth business. We're trying to now encourage that in the other jurisdictions that we operate from. And we will continue to integrate and leverage off the platforms and investment management expertise that we have. So I think, that business has got good momentum. Clearly, the challenge, as we mentioned in the last trading update, was in realigning the business models in the specialist bank. We've already made a strong move in Australia through closing down businesses and taking out heads. Took out 80 heads, so it's 80 out of 480. And we're trying to simplify that business and take away anything that creates complexity for us because of the highly regulated environment. In the UK, it is managing down the legacy portfolios and still making sure that the single bank project is finally complete. And then back on the front foot, trying to grow the business organically. And that is a shift from where we have been over the last while. And then I think in South Africa, it's continuing in the progress that we've made over the last few years. You're really starting to see it come through, and you know, we just need to continue on that path, but we're really getting on top of our game. So if I just dwell a little bit on some of the initiatives that we've taken and some of the issues that have been causing us a drag, I think we did take a, we sent Kieran is here, we sent Kieran off to Australia around about April. We've done a full review of that business, and as a consequence, we've closed a number of businesses, and I said to you, taken out a whole, we've had, as a consequence, a whole lot of people have lost their jobs, unfortunately. So we believe that will bring in a significant reduction in cost, but a marginal impact on revenue. I think the legacy book, as you can see, was $1.7 billion at the time of the crisis. That's the non-professional activity, because we built a very good professional banking business in Australia over the last 5-6 years. That is now $58 million. And a bit of that, about 37 of the 58, represent the 1-point-something percent of defaults that we have in that part of the world. So our focus there remains on, you know, building out some niches that, with a strong emphasis on ROE and portfolio optimization, as well as making sure that whatever we do there is strategically aligned with the broader group. So we listed a property fund on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange. It houses Australian assets. That was quite successful. And it's those types of initiatives that make sense for us as a broader group and help us strategically align that business. I think the bigger issue that we've had to, that we've tried to articulate here, is the impact that the 2008 crisis had on our UK business. And I think there, what we've done is try to clarify for you what the impact is on our operating performance and what is happening to this legacy. So if you look at the, at March 08, we had £4.8 billion of loans that were written at the wrong price, some to the wrong clients, but also mostly at the wrong price. Today, of that portfolio, we have £2.4 billion, of which £2 billion is performing. £383 million is non-performing. It lives in our non-performing numbers. And, you know, we are busy managing that book out. And it, I'll give you talk about in a moment how long it will take us to manage it out. I think on the other side, if you remember, you all shouted about the Kensington acquisition. I mean, there we have to acknowledge that those who shouted were right. It was a very difficult acquisition for us. We landed up with a book that we couldn't securitize of £2 billion. £550 of that was in Ireland and £1.4 billion in the UK. You can see that the Irish book has hardly come down because it's a very, we've had to make a significant impairment to that book, but it's a very difficult place at the moment because it blew up. The UK book has come down quite nicely, and it will continue to come down, but you can see the split between the two. At September, we had £1.3 billion. It comes down by maybe £100 million a year. So that's really the area that has also been quite tough to deal with and has some impact on performance. Allocated to those businesses, we have £400 million of capital, 374 at March, so you can imagine the impact that it has on ROE. So if you look what happened at March, and now March is history, you can see that the legacy book lost 66 and the core business made 98, and that generated 16.8% after-tax ROE. I mean, if I give you the pre-tax numbers, lost 86 versus 128. If we look at, in these results, the legacy lost 49 pre-tax and made 72. The ongoing business made 72, which is an ROE of 18.7 versus a loss of 20% ROE. So that is really what is impacting our performance in the UK. So we're comfortable that we have, our ongoing businesses are good, they have decent franchises, they've been built up quite well post the crisis, but the legacy business is the one that is holding us back, and that's the one that we are dealing with. So if you look at our expectation of runoff, so we are at 4.8 in 2008. This is on Investec originated stuff. We're at 2.6 today. As I said, of that 2.6, only 380, I can't remember the number I gave it you a moment ago, is non-performing. The rest is just earning subpar returns. And we expect that to run off based on conditions as we see them, which is weak conditions in Ireland and moderate conditions in the UK, to £876 million by 2018. And then if we look at the Kensington book, we believe that that will drop, and it's mainly because of the issues around Ireland, £1.3 billion to £877 by 2013. If you get better economic conditions, that can be a lot faster. Certainly we're seeing quite positive economic conditions in the UK, particularly in the housing market, and you know, once there's availability of mortgages, some of these people will rebank. But that has not been existent up to now. It's very recent in the UK. Whereas in Ireland, there has not been mortgage availability, you know, for 4 years. So that may also start improving, but it's still early days. I know the Irish country is leaving the bailout system in the middle of December, which is very, very positive. But let's see what that does to the rest of the economy. Then I think on capital, we gave sort of like a vague statement at September, which gave some people a fright. So I think it's important for us to talk about capital and the impact of Basel 3, which we already have implemented in South Africa, and CRD 4, which comes in on the 1st of January in Europe. There's another thing that the PRA are bringing in the middle of December. I can't remember the name. It's got some other funny code. But we factored all these things into account. So as a consequence of understanding these regulations, we're saying we want to take our core equity ratio. Remember, we're on a standardized approach, not an advanced approach, which means that our ratios look lower than they really are if we went on to advanced. Our core equity ratio up to 10%. We're not there at the moment, and I'll talk about that in a second. And we've moved our Tier 1 ratio because you're also required to have some form of other Tier 1 over and above core equity to be back to 11. We're there at the moment, but we just said by 2016. And then our total ratio, we're not changing our total ratio. We think at 14 to 17, that is fine. The other ratio that we're starting to disclose now is the leverage ratio. Remember, they bring in a leverage ratio of 3. We are currently above 6, and we want to maintain ourselves above 6. And the leverage ratio and the core equity ratio, sort of, when you've got to take them together, you can't take them on their own. I remind people that Northern Rock had an 18% core Tier 1 ratio and went broke 3 weeks later. But if they'd managed them on a leverage ratio, you know, they wouldn't have been allowed to operate because their leverage ratio was about 1.5%. So you've got to look at those both. So for us, from a capital planning point of view, all our banking entities currently already meet our fully loaded targets. It's just at a holding company level, we have obviously these perpetual prefs, which will not be reckoned, although they're permanent in nature, they're not going to be recognized under regulations because they don't have loss-absorbing features in them, although any rational person will know that those things are loss-absorbing vis-a-vis a bank. But that's not how the regulators see life, so you know, we just have to carry on with what the regulators want. But we will get there by retained earnings net of dividend, managing down the legacy book. You can see there's still a lot of capital that's held for the legacy book. We are migrating Investec Limited to the advanced approach. That will add 1.5% onto our South African core ratio in our estimation. Then other optimization of asset portfolios. You know, we only have £17 billion of loans on £45 billion of assets. There's a lot of liquid stuff in there that if we need to sell, we can sell. I think it's, you know, this is not, I don't think, a difficult thing for us to achieve. If we look at where we are, I'm giving you the full Monty here. Our core equity ratio in South Africa is 9.5. Investec Bank is 10.1. Investec PLC 9.1. Investec Bank PLC 10.1. And Investec Australia 11.8. If we fully load it, that means we bring in the rules by 2022. That's when the phase-in ends. It hardly affects South Africa, 9.4, and doesn't really affect only thing that we haven't got in South Africa is the capital for CVA. And then you've got Investec PLC. It's at 8.7, there's about 0.4% effect there. Investec Bank PLC at 10.7 in Australia doesn't affect because they're fully implemented already. So You know, I'm not going to go into all of these, but I've given you three leverage ratios, the permanent capital one, which factors the prefs in, the leverage ratio current, which phases out the prefs, and then the fully loaded, where the prefs are ignored. And you can see that in all instances, you know, we're above or at our target. So I think, you know, that's really the issues on capital, and, you know, we believe that this is, for us as a firm, highly manageable going forward. So if I come to closing, I think if we look at our business, and my colleague here, Henry Blumenthal, always tells a nice story where the son asked the father, told the father, listen, I've got so far still to go in life. And he said, no, what's also important in life is you look how far you've come. And if I look at our firm and see how far we've come, I think that we have built a quality franchise. We get lots of awards for some of the, these are just some of them for some of the things that we do with our clients. And I think we are strong, and it's not just about the marketing, it's about what the clients feel about us and how they rate the service that we provide them. And I think that often is forgotten. So we're very happy with how we are looking after our clients and the kind of feedback that we get from our clients. So we believe that our franchise is very strong at the moment. I think if you look at our business model, at one stage very lopsided to taking risk. Now it's much more weighted to providing services. And I think that's important because it gives you defense in times of crisis or difficult times. And obviously we hope to benefit from improved market conditions. You'll start seeing more income coming from the risk side of our business. So if you look at where we went into the crisis at 60-40, we're now the other way around, 52 capital light, 48% capital intensive. And, you know, this portfolio mix will really depend on where life is in economies and how much, you know, activity there is going around. So we believe that we have sound platforms from which to grow. We have spent a lot of time, energy and resource over the past few years realigning the business model. We have a solid base from which we are growing our asset management business, and our strategic focus there is long-term performance. A large amount of effort has been spent integrating our wealth and investment business, and you're actually seeing the benefits physically come through and optimally, you know, you just have to look to see the benefits come through, and we have a scalable platform. That business requires scale. There's lots of regulation that's coming down the road at us from the conduct people, and that's not only a UK thing, that is around the world, and unless you're a scale business there, you can't provide the kind of infrastructure that is required to be credible. And then the banking business, the third pillar, has gone through a lot of transformation. Obviously, that's the business that really got beaten up in the crisis, and there's still some work to manage down the legacy portfolio, and we've given you some guidelines as to how we expect it to happen. We have been reshaping the businesses that have been underperforming, and but we believe that our banking franchise is in a very good place for us to grow and develop. So I think in closing, economic conditions are mixed. As I said, looking like a lot better in the developed world compared to the developing world. We as a group have improved in shape and quality and capability. I think we have made significant progress in identifying and addressing the drag on performance, so that we can concentrate on getting rid of the drag, and we will continue to realign our business model as appropriate to ensure that we are well positioned for future growth and development, and that we get to a point where we're achieving those financial targets, which at this point in time is quite a lot of stretching. So that's our story, and I hope we've given you a lot of clarification. Because I think that at the trading update in the middle of September, maybe I was in a bad mood or a bit vague. So that's the story. Now I'm going to do questions. I'll start in the UK. Ronnie, I'm starting in the UK.
Questions? Got a couple here.
Good morning. A couple if I may. Firstly, thanks for the extra disclosure, very helpful, on slides sort of 23 and 24, including the move of the ROE from 16.8 to 18.7 is good, but that's more than all down to the shift in the impairment charge, which is now almost zero. Looking at the ongoing UK business only and comparing the March number versus the September number, the cost-income ratio appears to have deteriorated. Income to shareholders' equity has gone from 95% down to 83%, and the annualising the half one income is 9% lower than the income you generated in the last year. So given that this is the core ongoing business, can you explain the drivers behind that and the outlook for that business? And the second question is, could you disclose the Q1 versus Q2 net flows in the asset management business and the outlook for flows there?
Now, that one you're going to have to take offline, or I can ask Hendrik. Hendrik, where's he gone? He was here a minute ago, now he's gone AWOL. Huh? Hey, okay. I haven't got that mix for you on Q1 versus Q2. You can ask Ursula offline on that, or we'll get Hendrik to give you the number. I think, David, you want to answer his questions? You sitting there? On the income? It was quite a difficult, it was quite a choppy period. I only got momentum at the back end of the period.
You had a lot, so just go one at a time.
The long and short of it is that annualized the first half is a little bit different. It's 90% light.
Now you've gone on mute, Jeff.
Yeah, I think.
Okay, carry on. He needs a mic.
Is this coming through? Yeah. James is lighter, but I think the quality of the income is much better in terms of what we've seen. So we had quite a few one-offs in the first half of last year. And I think what you've got to look at it is in terms of ongoing performance, we certainly struggled to repeat our performance in the second half of last year, whereas we're expecting growth in the second half of next year.
This year. Okay, James, I haven't got the asset management number for you. We'll get that to you, okay? Okay, any more questions?
Yeah, one more.
Morning. Owen Melmane from Canaccord. I had two. When I look at your breakdown for legacy ongoing and versus last year and this year, the numbers look... I don't know whether they're comparable, because you've got sort of income of 64 and suddenly the income's sort of really low, and you've got the impairment spiking and impairment sounding low. I was just wondering whether they were comparable numbers, and also on 25, as I look at your portfolio falling, I was wondering what your projections for ROE were as the legacy portfolio went off, because I think most of the driver of that is largely your private bank assets falling. So I was just wondering what these assets were and how liquid they were and how quickly you could get off them, and what is the kicker to ROE as we go through the forward years. That was one. I had another one on capital, which I'll ask a bit later.
We've given you a projection of the runoff of the book. So if you look at, I don't know what page it is, there is a projection of the runoff of the book. And that's an expectation that we currently have. So I think that answers the second part of your question, because you can actually see it, how much it runs off year by year. I think in the first half of the question, I can't remember exactly what you asked.
I mean, I was just looking at the legacy income book. I was just wondering how the, I mean, what's transpired with the income line and the impairment line? Is that just the sales, or have you, I mean, are you getting out of businesses? I mean, what's driven the legacy number versus this year and last year?
There are, you know, some opportunity stuff in the legacy book that we would make decent gains on. So it's not, you know, the legacy book, as we said, quite a big piece of it, most of it is performing. And there were assets in the legacy book that we were able to realize at a decent price. You will see a fair amount of volatility in that income line. The issue on the legacy book is a lot of the stuff is at very low margin. Spread, and therefore clearly there's a drag in it, but you will see, you know, it's not something that's like a smooth annuity. You will see some volatility in it. As we're able to clear assets, they would be classified as legacy. We could make gains. We made some of those gains last year, but you know, in this particular half, that didn't exist.
Hello. Yeah, I just had one on capital.
Yeah.
I think the PRA is looking at banks sort of trading roughly around 11% to 12% capital. I was just wondering what you were comfortable with and if you'd had any discussion with the PRA of what your sort of run rate capital ought to be for the UK bank. Thank you.
Yeah, well, I think for the UK bank, we're already above the 11%. I think that we haven't had these detailed discussions yet on the PRA. With the PRA, I think they're still trying to work out what their rules are. They've given discussion papers, but you know, we are very comfortable at our level. We'll have to see, you know, if the PRA want us to hold any more. We don't think so. We've got a big regulatory surplus at the moment, but that's based on old rules. We know that on new rules, our regulatory surplus may be a bit less, but we're comfortable with the targets that we've given you and where we're positioning ourselves.
Thank you.
Remember, we are a standardized bank. So when I look at some of the UK banks, they've got core tier one ratios of, you know, in the mid-teens, and you look at their leverage ratio, it's at 3.1. So, you know, what is real? So I think you've got to factor that into account. We have a very good leverage ratio, and if we were advanced, we would probably have a different ratio, a different core ratio. More questions?
Any other questions? That's all, Stephen.
Okay. South Africa. Ronnie, you will go first.
Three questions, if I may. First of all, could you just give us where the growth of loans has come from, what jurisdictions, and perhaps what type of client, because that looks actually quite impressive. Just looking at that $4 million in the asset management, was that the change in terms of giving management a share of the action there? And the third one, just looking at the Aussie operation, how much is in legacy property? What is the shape of the operation now compared to what it was? And how do you see that developing in terms of getting critical mass in terms of current divisions after shedding those which are non-core?
Okay, I think I start off with Australia because I heard your question. You can look at the page 21 of the book. You can see that at the time of March 2008, we had a legacy book, which was 1.3 of that 1.7 billion was property, which is now down to 58 million. So remember, we had that big write-off a couple of years back where we cleared about $300 or $400 million of it. So that's down to 58 million. Of that 58 million, $37 million is non-performing out of a $48 million non-performing book on a $3.2 billion gross book. So I think your second question was on the asset management deal. There was £4 million of costs that came as a consequence of switching Investec long-term incentive into shares in the asset management business, part of the structure of the deal. If you're going to look at the circle, you'll see it was all mentioned there, and we had to write that cost off in the six-month period.
It's a one-shot cost.
Yes. So I think your other question, I mean, it's you know, we've taken significant action in Australia. Our strategy there is to make sure that the business is very much aligned with the broader Investec group and not run it on a multinational basis, but run it on an integrated basis. And so, you know, that's the action that we've taken. And we want to try and leverage off infrastructure in other parts of the world as opposed to having duplicate infrastructure. And, you know, we'll have to wait to see what the outcome is.
May I just ask one more question? Can I throw a bit of a curveball at you, if you don't mind?
Sure.
If you look at the sum of the parts, put a PE to your asset management and your wealth away from your core traditional banking side, would you think that your current disclosed NAV might be a lot higher based on sum of the parts?
You're talking about valuation?
On a valuation basis, yeah.
Yeah, look, I think the market must value our sum of the parts. I mean, the market is currently, in my opinion, writing off big parts of the bank because of the lack of performance. And we try to give you information that can help you as a market determine what the underlying value is. As I said to you, you know, in middle of September, and I say it again now, 2.5 out of our 3 businesses are performing well. Half is going through reshaping, and then of that half, the drag is from a legacy, which is there and is transparent, and you can see it. So you know, it's not for us to determine what our value should be. You guys must determine that. The moment you're not happy, so you give us a lousy value. I'm still, I don't know. More questions? Okay, then that's it. We're wrapping up now, and thank you all for attending. And any questions you want to ask, you've got our investor relations team. We've got a lot of senior management here. You're welcome. Thank you. Cheers.